Tonight, the deadly collapse at Florida International University in Miami. A pedestrian bridge suddenly comes crashing down, killing several people and crushing vehicles below.
It really shocked me because all of those people under the bridge, they're all dead.
Tonight, there is an urgent search for survivors in the rubble. The Russia investigation reaches closer to President Trump. Robert Mueller issuing the first known subpoenas to the Trump family business for records on Russia and beyond, as the Trump administration slaps Moscow with long-awaited punishments for interfering in our election. Cigarette crackdown. The FDA takes a historic step to save millions of lives and stop kids from picking up the habit by dramatically slashing nicotine. Emergency room alert. Why major insurance company is refusing to cover all costs if it doesn't think you have a real emergency. But how are you supposed to know? And strike up the band. Why colleges are suddenly going to such great lengths to welcome new students.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. We start with that horrifying accident in the Miami area. As we come on the air tonight, searchers there are desperately trying to move the massive slabs of a collapsed bridge that fell down onto a busy seven-lane street this afternoon, pinning eight cars, trapping and killing several people. The massive pedestrian overpass was still under construction when it gave way in seconds onto traffic below. Our Gabe Gutierrez is on the scene with late-breaking details.
The 950-ton pedestrian bridge collapsed without warning.
Bridge is down, possible entrapment.
Crushing cars, drivers pinned under massive slabs of concrete.
It sounded like an earthquake.
Eyewitnesses in shock.
It was like an explosion. It was like a bomb.
Susie Bermudez says she missed it by seconds.
I'm very grateful to be alive. Thank God. I was very close to losing my life.
Emergency crews rushed in to treat the injured.
We started running towards over there. We just see these cars like crushed down and then everybody getting out the cars and beeping. We're just like terrified.
The bridge next to Florida International University had been built after a student died last year walking across the busy road. Seen here in an architectural rendering, it had just been installed on Saturday, built using what's known as accelerated bridge construction technology, meant to finish projects faster and more cost-effectively. A 175-foot section was prefabricated next to the street and then moved into position in just hours.
There's some risk that if you don't get them right, then there will be some much bigger forces in the bridge than you might have expected.
The bridge was scheduled to open to foot traffic next year. Munia Construction, the company that built it, says it's cooperating with investigators and that our family's thoughts and prayers go out to everyone affected by this terrible tragedy. But this is not the first time the company's been under scrutiny. It was sued after a makeshift bridge injured a TSA worker at Fort Lauderdale's airport. That case is still pending.
We're going to have rescuers here probably through the night, if not longer. The focus at this point is going to remain on search and rescue.
Tonight, the National Transportation Safety Board is sending investigators to the scene to find out what went wrong.
This is a live look at that scene. Right now, there is an urgent search and rescue mission underway. Authorities have not confirmed an official death toll, but Senator Bill Nelson says it's at least six. 10 other people were rushed to the hospital. Two are in critical condition. Lester.
Horrible scene there. Gabe Gutierrez for us tonight. Thank you. There is a new turn this evening in the Russia investigation, a report that the special counsel has issued a subpoena for information from the Trump Organization. The news comes as the U.S. imposes new sanctions on Russia for meddling in the presidential election. NBC's Peter Alexander has more now from the White House.
Tonight, Robert Mueller using his subpoena power to reach deep into the heart of President Trump's businesses, as reported by the New York Times, demanding documents, including some related to Russia, from the Trump Organization. What the president previously said would cross a red line.
Would that be a breach of what his actual...
The Trump Organization insisting it's fully cooperative with all investigations and is responding to their requests. But Mueller clearly wasn't satisfied. It comes as the White House, for the first time, is retaliating for Moscow's meddling in the 2016 election and other malicious cyber attacks, imposing tough sanctions on two dozen Russian organizations and individuals. And today, a disturbing new warning, the Department of Homeland Security and FBI announcing that Russia keeps targeting key U.S. infrastructure systems, successfully infiltrating computer networks of American energy companies, even accessing this screen, part of the controls for a power plant. How'd they do it? At times by sending around fake resumes that, once opened, allowed Russian hackers to penetrate a wide range of networks, including nuclear, water, and aviation systems. President Trump today also personally denouncing Russia for its apparent role in a poison attack on a former Russian spy on British soil.
It's a very sad situation. It certainly looks like the Russians were behind it. Something that should never, ever happen.
The U.S. joining key allies, calling the attack a clear violation of international law, but not mentioned any consequences for Russia or its president.
Is Putin a friend or a foe of the United States?
I think that's something that Russia is going to have to make that determination.
Tonight, the U.S. ambassador to Russia under President Obama, a frequent Trump critic, called today's sanctions a very positive sign, telling NBC News it's not going to change Vladimir Putin's behavior. But coming from the Trump administration, he says it's a symbolically important step. Lester?
All right, Peter Alexander at the White House tonight. Thanks. We are about to play for you newly released surveillance video that shows the panic moments outside the high school in Parkland, Florida, as the killing was happening inside. And more importantly, it shows the initial actions of the armed school officer who was chastised for his response, accused by the sheriff of failing to enter the building and confront the gunman as per policy. The sheriff tonight saying the new video speaks for itself. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren has the story.
The newly released surveillance video shows Armed Deputy Scott Peterson at 2:22 p.m. checking a door with a civilian security monitor. According to a police timeline, confessed gunman Nicholas Cruz is already 1 minute into his rampage. Peterson is seen running, getting into a golf cart. By 2:23, he's at the freshman building, where police say Cruz is still shooting. You can see students fleeing. Newly released 911 calls revealing the terror inside. A student in hushed tones.
A lot of blood. Please help. Please.
And a teacher barricaded behind a door.
I'm in the classroom. The lights on the door's locked. The student was shot and went through the door.
The shooting doesn't stop for another 5 minutes. Peterson never enters. That's him behind the pole. His attorney says Peterson believed the shots were coming from outside. But listen to Peterson's own radio transmission, suggesting he may have believed gunfire was inside. Broward Sheriff Scott Israel publicly condemned Peterson, who resigned.
So what should he have done?
Went in, addressed the killer, killed the killer.
But Peterson maintains he followed training in telling officers to stay away.
Broward, do not approach the 12 or 1300 buildings. Stay at least 500 feet away at this point.
This is definitely a shock.
Tanzo Phillip was inside the freshman building and watched the video today.
That's his job, to go into the building when there's a shooting. So that's what angered me, that he wasn't there doing his job.
A decision that may have meant the difference between life and death. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News.
And also, back in the headlines tonight, the deadly fraternity hazing scandal at Penn State. Prosecutors have now dropped the most serious charges of assault against former fraternity members in the death of 19-year-old pledge Timothy Piazza last year. Piazza had fallen downstairs after a hazing ritual at the fraternity house. He was found unconscious the next morning, but investigators say members waited to call for help. 26 individuals have been accused in the case. Five still face involuntary manslaughter charges. Now to an issue faced by so many families in this country when there is a medical crisis, wondering, should you go to the emergency room? Now, in an effort to control health care costs, one of the nation's biggest insurance companies is enforcing a new policy in a growing number of states. It won't pay your bill if it doesn't agree you had a true emergency. So how are patients supposed to know? NBC's Katie Beck with the story.
I just can't breathe.
College sophomore Diamond Tyler suffers from severe allergies.
It's scary. It's frightening.
Outbreaks so bad at times she can't breathe.
Your advice for her when she has these symptoms to do what?
Oh, go to the emergency room no matter what.
A professional knows what they're talking about. They know what to look for and what to listen for. I don't know that.
She's been more than a dozen times since July. Doctor's orders. But when her father's insurance, Anthem, denied several of those claims,
almost every claim that was put in was denied.
And Tyler was stuck with $12,000 in medical bills. It was no mistake. The denials fall under Anthem's new avoidable emergency room policy, a crackdown on what Anthem considers inappropriate ER use for routine care, from cuts and bruises to the flu and allergies.
The policy is now in effect in 6 states and could expand. Anthem sending customers a warning letter and telling us in a statement, ERs are often a time-consuming place to receive care and can cost more than 10 times the charge for an urgent care visit.
They get the same time frame to do it.
Dr. Jonathan Haidt represents the American College of Emergency Physicians, fighting back, saying in effect patients are being asked to diagnose themselves.
They're afraid of getting a large bill. They will hesitate, and someone's going to get hurt, or a patient can even die from this.
But Anthem says misuse is a growing problem and impacts premiums for everyone.
Is there logic in that?
Again, there's only 4 to 5% of patients who go to an ER for non-urgent reasons, so it would not be a lot of money savings.
In January, Anthem added an exception for when a patient is sent by ambulance. Other exceptions include when a patient is under age 15, lives more than 15 miles from urgent care, or is seen on weekend nights or holidays.
I'm going to keep fighting appeals.
After several appeals, Anthem recently reversed some of the Tyler's denials.
This is bigger than just us. You know, there's a lot of people dealing with this that don't know what avenues to take to try to get out of this situation.
A situation where your definition of emergency may be different from your insurance company's. Katie Beck, NBC News, St. Louis, Missouri.
In Texas today, an explosion and fire at a chemical plant. It happened about 20 miles southwest of Fort Worth. The cause is being investigated, but officials say that static electricity may have started it. About a dozen people were working in the plant. 2 of them were injured and a 3rd is missing. There is breaking news tonight out of western Iraq, where a U.S. military helicopter has crashed with American service members on board, according to a military official. There are multiple casualties. U.S. rescue teams and fighter jets, we're told, are responding to the scene. Overseas, also overseas, we have exclusive reporting from Syria tonight on what could be a dangerous new conflict brewing within that brutal war. This one involving American troops and Russians. We get details from Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel.
We're traveling inside eastern Syria on an exclusive trip with U.S. Special Forces. General Jonathan Braga tells us this rural terrain was ISIS's heartland and that the extremists have been driven way back. But now there are fears the U.S. could end up in a direct conflict with new adversaries, Russians. We drove to the Conoco oil and gas refinery, now a U.S. base. It's the first time reporters have been here since American troops came under attack on this spot last month by 500 fighters, including Russian mercenaries, an international incident shrouded in secrecy until now.
So on that night, we started receiving artillery rounds in around right where you're standing. Upwards of 30 different artillery rounds.
General Braga says he immediately picked up a hotline to the Russian military.
So you called and said, stop this?
Yes, I did.
What response did you get?
Those are not our forces.
U.S. forces were unconvinced. Braga says they gathered in this building to launch a counterstrike, raining down artillery and airstrikes.
200 to 300 of the Russian force was killed. Is that accurate?
Oh, and that's, I would say, close to our estimates as well.
Were you worried that this could have become some sort of real war with Russia?
Absolutely concerned.
U.S. military officials tell NBC News the Russian mercenaries were from the Wagner Group, a shadowy security firm linked to Yevgeny Prigozhin, a powerful oligarch known as Putin's chef. The U.S. captured intercepts of the mercenaries' communications, complaining about their heavy losses. They tore us to pieces, put us through hell, said one. The Yankees made their point. And it seems the mercenaries haven't given up. General Braga took us to the edge of the base, pointing out to where similar forces have come back.
Hope it doesn't happen again, but if it does, we'll be ready.
While the Kremlin insists none of its soldiers were involved, it has admitted a small number of Russian nationals were killed in the attack. For U.S. troops here in Syria, this is a very sensitive issue. They're trying to fight ISIS, but have to navigate through what is increasingly a free-for-all. Lester?
Richard Engel. We have an update tonight on that mix-up on United Airlines that resulted in a dog being flown to Japan instead of Kansas City. When the owners of the German Shepherd named Ergo went to pick him up, a Great Dane jumped out of the kennel instead. Ergo is scheduled to land back in the U.S. this evening. United has apologized for the mix-up. Still ahead tonight, the government's landmark proposal on cigarettes, how it could save millions of lives. Also, with Toys R Us shutting down, what happens to any gift cards you may be holding? We'll have the answer. We're back now with the unprecedented action announced today by the FDA regarding cigarettes in what some advocates are calling one of the most important health measures ever proposed by the federal government. The FDA is now seeking to impose new limits on nicotine to make smoking less addictive. For more on this historic move, here's NBC's Ann Thompson.
Imagine lighting up with little or no risk of getting hooked. That's behind the FDA's proposal to dramatically lower nicotine, the addictive ingredient in cigarettes.
By regulating the nicotine and reducing it to levels that are minimally or non-addictive, you can help break that cycle of addiction to tobacco.
Commissioner Gottlieb points to a study in today's New England Journal of Medicine that says cutting nicotine in cigarettes could save 8 million lives by the end of the century.
This is the most dangerous legal product on the market, and it's the only product that, if used as intended, it's going to kill half of its users.
Cutting nicotine may also reduce the nearly $300 billion in health care and lost productivity cigarettes cost the economy every year and stop teen smokers from becoming adult smokers.
This could completely change the future history of teen tobacco use. If adopted, kids who experiment will no longer become addicted.
Yet the FDA concedes there could be pitfalls, such as creating a black market for higher nicotine cigarettes. Still, from the tobacco company, surprisingly little pushback. Philip Morris USA, maker of Marlboro and Virginia Slims, says its parent company has already been preparing for any reasonable potential standard, and they will participate in the process, a process that's expected to take more than a year. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
When we come back, if you've taken a trip lately, we've got a warning about a new measles alert for passengers who traveled through three American airports. And To Kill a Mockingbird, we'll tell you why a new lawsuit has been filed in connection with a classic American novel. A new health warning tonight about measles. Officials say travelers who passed through airports in Detroit, Newark, and Memphis may have been exposed to the highly contagious illness after cases were confirmed in two passengers. The first was on March 6th in Detroit. The other was this past Monday, a passenger traveling through Newark and Memphis. Health officials say the incubation period is 10 to 12 days. If you've received the measles vaccine, it is highly effective against the disease. Now that Toys R Us has announced it's going out of business, what if you still have Toys R Us gift cards? Well, you better spend them fast. The chain will honor gift cards for the next 30 days. Toys R Us plans to close all its 700 remaining stores. It filed for bankruptcy last year amid fierce competition from online retailers. There's a new twist in a planned Broadway adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird. The estate of author Harper Lee is suing the producers, saying he and scriptwriter Aaron Sorkin have deviated too much from the original. They say the script goes too far in altering the main characters and the depiction of small-town Alabama in the 1930s. The case is now in the hands of a federal judge. When we come back here tonight, a new kind of college competition. You won't believe some of the things they're doing to get you to say, yes, I'll attend. Finally tonight, it's college acceptance season, and for some schools, it's a whole new ball game. You may remember how a thick envelope often meant you were in, and a thin letter meant they were sorry. Well, today, many colleges have to work a lot harder to get those admitted to say yes. As Jolene Kent reports, it's often quite a show.
Getting into college already feels like an achievement. But now it comes with even more fanfare. Maryland surprises admitted students with marching bands at their door. Butler University enlists a four-legged recruiter, all to get accepted students to accept them.
You driving?
Tripp is Butler's top dog for recruiting. Surprising admitted high school seniors across the country, like Katie Skirmerhorn.
We came from Butler University to congratulate you on being admitted. Congratulations.
Schools are getting creative because enrollment has declined in the last 6 years. Tuition is up, and students can jump straight into a strong job market.
Here we go.
Even a highly selective school like University of Southern California has shown up with balloons.
Thank you so much.
How important is it that a student feels excitement when they get accepted?
They and their family need to know that
a place like this is worth the investment.
Katie Skirmerhorn now mulling over her decision.
Mostly what I'm looking for is like a family component.
I love to pet.
Of course, that's why we brought him.
But that visit from Trip,
it was really cool. It almost made me cry.
May have just made her choice a little easier. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Some fun ways to get the good news. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.